Bible study. It's preach, teach. We get into all kind of stuff. The Bible don't leave nothing untouched. It uncovers every stone. And so don't miss Wednesday night. The kids' class will be going on. They're getting ready for youth rally. It's important that they all be here. And then, of course, Saturday morning, visitation. We're going on bus route. Saturday morning, 9:30. Be here. Bring somebody with you. It's a good time of year to visit. It'll be starting March. And so, you know, it's spring going to be here before we know it. Amen. Y'all pray for me.
Y'all pray for us. This is unrehearsed. So. You've been my life for so long. You were right when I was wrong. I can't repay all the love you've given me. You were my friend when no one cared. I was alone, but you were there, Lord. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me. How all I have is you, Lord. Take my life, make me what you have me be. I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Borrowed treasures, borrowed dreams, all life's joys you've given me. When troubles come, you're always there to make me smile. Let come what may, thy will be done. I love you, Jesus, God's only Son. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is you, Lord. Take my life, make me what you have me be. I'm your child, you're my father. I'm the clay, you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me.
How many of you say tonight that the Lord is the best thing that's ever happened to me? I hear some people on time on TV and they'll be talking about getting some kind of award or winning something at the Olympics or something, and they'll say, this is the greatest day of my life. And every time I hear somebody say that, I think they must not be saved. Because that is not the greatest day of your life. Getting a promotion, winning the lottery, nothing is as great as that. I'm not just saying that because I'm a preacher. The best thing that ever happened to you was getting saved and meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. By far. Now, what will it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? That means if Donald Trump and Bill Gates signed everything they own over to you, it wouldn't be a greater day as it was the day you got saved. And if you don't believe that, you didn't really get it the right way. So I hope tonight you'll take your Bible. We're going to look just here for a minute here in 1 Kings chapter number 19. A very familiar story here in the Old Testament. I'm going to look at it maybe just in a little bit different way than we have before. 1 Kings chapter 19, just for a few minutes this evening. I know we have a lot of folks gone, but we're glad that they have the opportunity to get us ready. I'm going to really push during these next 6 or 8 Sunday nights on getting us ready for the youth rally. It's an extremely heavy burden on me. I ain't complaining. It's my choice. But it's a terrible burden, and I hope that you'll help me bear that burden and pray. I'd like for everyone who spent some time praying for the youth rally this week to raise your hand, please. If you'd raise your hand, please. That's great. That's great. That's a big, big number. In other words, that's 90-something percent of the people. I mean that. I mean that. When you're driving down the road, on your way to work, instead of normally listening to the radio or whatever, say, well, here's me 15 minutes. I can pray for the youth rally. You do that for 8 weeks, brother, that comes up into some hours of time. And God honors it when people pray. There's stuff happens when people pray. So let me encourage you. Last Sunday night, I preached on prayer and how that we need to get us a prayer partner, whether it's 10 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock at night, your own time, husband and wife together, and bear down and pray. What we need is an old-time, full, powerful move of God in this country. Our country's in bad, bad shape. I just read this week that last year, 2011, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, there were 83,750 babies aborted just in New York City. Just in New York City that year. 83,750. To put that in perspective, the Met Life Stadium, where they held the Super Bowl, seats 82,500. There's more babies killed in New York City than there was people sitting there watching the Super Bowl. In one city, in 1 year. Been over 55 million now since Roe versus Wade. We're in trouble in this country. We're in bad, bad trouble with God. Every time in the Bible, the way you knew God was getting ready to do something, they're killing babies. In Moses, Pharaoh, you know, when he's killing the babies, God brought his children out. When Jesus came the first time, killing babies. And he was trying to kill all the male children. That's always the last step before God steps in and does whatever he's going to do, killing babies. And brother, we are slaughtering them by the millions. And that innocent blood is going to be on people's hands. They have the March for Life in Washington, D.C., in January. MSNBC, with a liberal news network, you know, not all of them are, even the ones that claim to be conservative are, don't go so far. They had the March for Life, all these pro-life people in Washington, D.C., and from 6 a.m. to 5 a.m. that day, MSNBC interviewed six people that were pro-death. I mean, they call them pro-choice, but that ain't... We're pro-life, they're pro-death. We believe in letting them live, they believe in killing them. That's just the news media way. It's like saying, if we're straight, they're crooked. Right? We're pro-life, they're pro-death. And all God's people said, amen. Just come with me now. Come with me now. Don't wimp out. And they interviewed six pro-deathers and zero pro-lifers. Had a pro-life march in Washington, D.C., and had none of them on for their point of view. None. Now, you think this world ain't going the wrong way? Our president just said the other day that marijuana, which they're all going to legalize now, is less dangerous than alcohol, quote, in terms of its impact on the individual consumer. Now, medically, that may be true. But the last thing we need is more legal drugs. Did you know if you legalize drugs, illegal drug use will go down? Make it legal so it ain't much crime no more. If you made all the crimes legal, crime would go down big time, wouldn't it? We call that circular reasoning, which is indicated by the forefinger making circles around the temple. And you know what you call that? These people can't even think straight. They can't even think straight. Global warming, we have the coldest winter we've had in forever, and the world's getting warmer. Yes, sir, it is. And you know what? The marijuana is a Marijuana is what they call a gateway drug. 9 times out of 10, a regular user of marijuana will graduate on into something higher. Every drug addict you know started out smoking pot. Am I right? That's right. And so we're in trouble. We are in trouble in this country. Amen. You want to be like Brother Tuggle. You want to live for God all your life and say good morning down here and or good night down here and good morning up there. Old Brother Tuggle lived for the Lord all them 89 years. His wife been in a rest home for years, and he went to see her every day. Every day that he could make it, went to see his wife in the rest home. He had a bumper sticker, drove a big Lincoln about as long as near that wall there, and had a bumper sticker on the back of it and said, "I love my wife." That's a blessing, isn't it? Well, of course, ain't nothing wrong with a man having a bumper sticker like that. Amen? That's right. You ladies, you ought to put one on your car. You ought to put a sign on your desk. "I love my husband." You don't want them old men flirting with you, do you? You say, "Oh, these men won't leave me alone." I'll tell you how to do it. Put a King James Bible right here and a sign right there that said, "I love my husband." Them furs will take off running when they see that. Like a scalded dog. And I like that one girl said, "Oh, these boys just won't quit flirting with me. These boys just won't quit flirting with me." And her skirt's up to here. "These boys just won't quit flirting with me." You ain't kidding nobody but yourself, you little sleaze. I'll tell you something tonight. We're in that time. I'm going to read you about a man tonight that was in a bad shape. He got in trouble. He was a preacher, and his name was Elijah. Oh, Elijah the Tishbite, brother. Great preacher. And he's going to say it here in verse chapter 19, verse 1. Look at here what it said. Ahab told Jezebel all that. Some people substitute the word Hillary for that word Jezebel. That's what Phil Kitt does. They told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. My, my, my. How judgmental Elijah must have been. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods..." You look at them little G, them gods they worshipped in that Old Testament. There was a lot of things they worshipped in the Old Testament, people. And it wasn't just rocks and stones. There were gods, demonic things, mixtures of demonic powers and humans and hybrids and giants and everything else on this earth at that time. That's how all them stuff got built. Them big buildings and Stonehenge and all that stuff. There's some strange creatures roaming the earth during those days. And he said here, "You tell them, let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." In other words, "I'm going to have you killed by tomorrow, preacher." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father." Now stop here just a second. Here's Elijah. He had just prayed the prayer, and 450 false prophets, God killed them, fire down from heaven. And one wicked woman gets after him and he starts running. Put him to flight, brother. I mean, he's running for his life and he gets over here and he requests for himself that he might die. Here's the question. Anybody got any prayer requests? Do you have any prayer requests? Elijah, raise your hand. "Yes, sir. What's yours, Elijah?" "We all pray that I die." That's what it said. He requested himself that he might die. His prayer request was that he might die. I'm not going to ask you to admit it, but how many people in here have ever been to the place where you just said, "Lord, just kill me"? Don't raise your hand, because I know we all have just about. Ain't you glad God don't answer stupid prayers like that? Ain't you glad that the Lord says, "Hey, don't pay no attention to him. He'll be crying to live tomorrow." You get down, you get out, you say, "Lord, just kill me. It'd be better off. I don't know. Just take me out, Lord. Yeah, my life's awful. Just kill me." And the Lord looked at me and said, "God takes care of fools and drunks." And that's true. And you know what? The Lord spared Elijah and didn't kill him. And he went down and sat down under a juniper tree and said, "Just let me die." Now, look at here. Let me read another verse or two, and I'm just going to give you a little thought here, and we'll go. Look at verse number 7. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. You can't do it by yourself. You're going to have help." And he rose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. You talk about a power cereal bar, brother. Protein, whey, milkshake, son. He got one, brother. Lasted him 40 days. You talk about a protein builder. You talk about, Lord have mercy, son. I mean, I don't know what he got. He got a hold of him a milkshake, brother, and a piece of cake that he went from now till the first week in April. And you know what? The Bible talks about that. And I want to preach just a minute on strength for your weakest hour. Strength for your weakest hour. One of the most wonderful things I've noticed about serving God is that when you get really down and you get down to the end of your rope and think life is over and you think there's just no way you can go on and you lay down and give up, their strength comes from somewhere else that you didn't have and you didn't conjure up, and it's the Lord bringing you through. Have you ever noticed that? As a matter of fact, you haven't been long in the Christian life if you think you're living it on your own. Paul said that. He said, when I am weak, then he is strong. And what you've got to learn how to do in your Christian life is realize, when I've done all I can do, you're going to have to help me. You know, everybody in here sing that little footprints poem. And, you know, it's in every bookstore in the world, and it says author unknown. And they say Willard Thomas wrote that. He's a preacher friend of mine down in Georgia, Brother Willard Thomas. He writes poems, and actually they say he wrote that, never took credit for it. And about a man walking down the beach like this, you know, and he runs through a real hard time in his life, and him and the Lord's walking side by side. And there's him, and there's the Lord, and there's him, and there's the Lord. And then he went through a hard time in life, and he looked back and he said, "Lord, why did you leave me there? There's just one set of footprints. That was the hardest time of my life, God. Where was you?" And the Lord said, "I didn't leave you. I carried you. That's why you only see one set." I'm telling you, anybody that knows me, anybody that knows Brother Danny, some of y'all know me at that point, there's been a bunch of times in my life when there ain't but one set of footprints and they ain't mine. I'm telling you, there's somebody bigger than you and I brought me through my burdens. Somebody bigger than you and I brought me through my trouble. This ain't something that I just do because I'm looking for something to do for a job. This is real. And there's a God in heaven, brother, and He'll take you through the darkest days of your life. He'll pick you up and carry you. You've got to understand that tonight. Now, I want to say two or three things about Elijah, and we'll go. First, Elijah was a man of prayer. He had just prayed the fire down from heaven. In chapter 18, verse number 38, he prayed the fire down. I like that story where they dug and dug and dug and dug, and they put sacrifice in there, and him and these false prophets was going to have a showdown. I like that story, buddy. That's some story. And they dug and they dug and they dug and they dug and they dug, and they put the sacrifice around in there, and he said, "All right, call on your gods." And them guys all got together, and they got there, and they got together, and they said, we got to have our music. Somebody hit the music. They sort of boom, 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 boom. And they started dancing around like that, you know, tutting herself, and everything. And said, "Can't touch this." That's what they was doing. That's exactly what they was doing just in those days. And you know what happened? Nothing happened. And you know what? They fooled around there. They went from 10 to 12. That's when they had their service. Got out at 12 o'clock on the dot. And Elijah stepped up there and he said, "My turn." And he said, they said, "You going to call down fire?" And he said, "Yeah, let's make it interesting. Bring a bunch of buckets of water and pour it on them things." And boy, they brought all the bucket of water and they threw it on there. They said, "You ain't going to have no fire now." And he said, "Pour more water on there." And he said, "You done?" They said, "Ain't no way them can set on fire." And he said, Let's bring some more buckets of water. Let's make it really interesting. They poured more water on there, more water on that water about that deep. And everybody else, and I said, well, he couldn't do it. And Eminem couldn't do it. And Justin Bieber couldn't do it. And Jay-Z couldn't do it. And Kanye West couldn't do it. And Beyonce couldn't do it. And all that. And Elijah said, Lord, after I'd prayed something like 18 words or 20 words or something like that, about that time fire come down right out of heaven in the sight of that crowd, and brother burned up them sacrifices, and the Bible said it licked up that water, just lapped it up, just burnt, got rid of all that water, and dried, and said, let God be God. I'm going to tell you tonight, listen, the church is weak tonight, the church is having, we're having our battles, but let me tell you something, people, are you listening to me tonight? I know the world, people think the world is great and the church is nothing, but when the church is right and God's in the church and God's moving in the church, they can't touch what we've got with a 30-foot pole. There's a power in God's church and God's word that this world can't achieve, can't get close to. Bless the Lord, we've got the real thing here this evening. Same man right there. Elijah was a man of prayer, and he got it by praying. He didn't get it by a good life. He didn't get it by reciting a prayer. He got it by praying. I'd like to see God do that to you, Crowley, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to see us having all these people's got kids? Wouldn't you like to see God get a hold of them? I mean, the world's trying to get their attention 24 hours a day. The world's out there pulling on as soon as they go to school tomorrow. The world's making bids for them every time they turn around. Wouldn't all of us like to see the fire come down? Wouldn't you like to see the fire come down? I tell you what, if we'll bind ourselves together and we'll all pray and we'll call on God, God will send the fire and do something to our kids, and might take the sacrifice that we give him. Number two, looking at Israel's spiritual weakness, Elijah got weak. You can't do it. The most disheartening thing to a Christian is when we look around. Jason leads us in that song sometime. Mighty men around us falling. Courage almost gone. Sometimes you look around and see empty pews. Sometimes you look around and say, so-and-so's fell out. So-and-so's fell out. So-and-so's quit. And about that time, you know, people are like sheep. One jackrabbit can jump up and stampede the whole flock. If you're not careful, that stuff's catching. Well, I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to give up. Listen, you can't look at that. You can't look around at the circumstances and say, well, I'm just going to give up, Lord. I've been in this thing long enough to know that if you'll stay with God and you'll stay with the church and you'll stay with the Bible and you'll stay on your knees, that victory will come. Are you hearing me tonight? Victory will come. Amen. The most disheartening thing in the world is to look around and see people just dropping out of the race like flies. Just getting knocked, it'll knock the wind out of your spiritual sails. It's heartbreaking, brother. I'm telling you, brother, Israel's vows were broken. They'd forsaken the Lord. They'd built altars to false God and everything else. But Elijah said, it don't matter. God, as long as I'm on your side, I know that I'm right, and God in one makes a majority every single time. We notice, thirdly tonight, the threat of Jezebel. The threat of Jezebel. I'll make your life like the life of one of them. You're dead, buddy. You're finished. You're done. You ever been told that? Anybody ever told you that? You'll never amount to nothing. You're washed up. God's all through with you. The devil will tell you that. The devil will tell you that. Your family will tell you that. Sometimes your relatives will tell you that. Sometimes other preachers will tell you that. There ain't no use in you trying. I let them tell me many, many times. I let them tell me many, many years ago. A friend, Marion, she said, Danny, she said, there's no way in the world you can raise three kids, you can pastor church, you can preach your Bibles all the time. It's impossible. Can't be done. And that hurt my feelings. It really did. And I went home and I got to thinking, I thought, she's a good woman. She's a godly woman. Lord, was you using her to talk to me? No, he was not. The devil was using her to talk to me because she was wrong. She was wrong. You know what the Lord said? He said, don't you worry about raising kids and preaching the Bible and pastoring the church. You just do what I want you to today. That's all you got to worry about. And I did. And the next day, today. He said, you do what I want you to today. And I said, okay, and I did. And he said, you do what I want you to today, and I did. And a day turned into a week, and a week turned into a month turned into a year turned into 10. First thing you know, you're clicking on down the road. I'm telling you tonight, by God's grace, all we've got to do, people, is do what God wants us to do today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, take care of yourself. You live right today, and you'll be what you ought to be tomorrow. The threat of Jezebel. Elijah's conclusion. Everybody, here's Elijah's conclusion. Everybody's backslid. Jezebel's going to kill me. I'm the only one living right. Let me die. Boy, he had the victory, didn't he? I'm the only one living right. God, they're all backslid but me. Don't ever think that. If you ever get to thinking you're the only one living right, you done tricked yourself. God's got plenty of them living right around this world. They spread out, but he's got plenty. Hey man, you're deceiving yourself when you think you're the only one standing. Old David found that out when he killed the giant. There's plenty always. Isaiah 40 verse 29, he said he giveth power to the faint. Elijah's conclusion. But then number 5, right quick, Elijah hears from God. God sends his angel. There's the secret. Buddy, I'll tell you something. It helps when you hear from God. I'll never forget one time I told you about the time those trusses fell in on me up there when we was building that building, and I won't go into a big long story. You've heard the story. And they had 80-foot long wood trusses. That's the same width as this building, 80-foot. And they were going, and there was 114 of them, something like that. And there was 114 feet. There was 57 of them. And them things weighed 500 pounds apiece. And at that time, I was going through some very, 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 very bad time. Would push some people to suicide, really. And I'm telling you, I was going through it, brother, from every angle you can imagine. And I remember walking in there that morning. My daddy was out there fooling around in the parking lot, going through stuff. It was early in the morning. And I noticed when I walked in the building, I was the only one in there. And all them trusses were over top of me like this. And I just walked in there. I was so happy. I'd been preaching the Bible. I said, glory to God, it looks like a building. Woo, it actually looks like a building. And I noticed a little whip of wind would come through in a little whirl that leaves is doing like this. You know, you see it going, look like a little whirlwind come through. I got my theory about them little things. But there was them little things started coming through like this. And I was walking through there. There was a man up there on top, an electrician working way higher than this. And I was just walking through there, and I was in the middle of that building. And about that time, I heard something crack. It sounded like a rifle went off. Pop! Them things made out of 2x12s and 2x10s. They weighed 500 pounds apiece. And I looked up, and I seen them things popping over like dominoes, hitting like that. And just out of the flash, I took off running like this, as hard as I can run, and jumped out the door like that. And jumped and landed out in the dirt. And they come in on behind me. Probably 2 seconds. They was coming down while I was running. And I run up under them and jumped out and fell in the dirt like that. And they crashed in behind me. 500 pounds each. I think 49 of them fell and 7 stayed up. The last 7. 49 trusses. Wait, nearly $14,000 worth. That was in 1987. That was a lot. It'd be $40,000, $50,000 now. And I knocked the wall down and knocked that boy off of that thing. He rode him down. He's laying there bleeding. And I'll never forget, Daddy turned out there and he just shook his head like this. And I ran around the front of the building and there were sirens. And police come, and there was people everywhere. And here come the nosy newspaper. It's always trying to stir. Reverend Castle, Reverend Castle, why do you think this happened? And it was trying to get me to say, like, you know, the devil did it or something, like trying to make you look stupid. I said, I don't know. And they said, but why do you? I said, I don't know. I started crying. I said, because they're saying, OSHA, you know, them people pass all those laws, and they said they're going to shut you down. You can't. And I went up to my office, and I got down on my knees. I felt, must have felt, like Elijah felt there. And I got down on my knees, and I said, God, I can't take much more of this. You're going to have to help me. You're going to have to help me. And I poured my heart out. And I'm telling you, with my hand to heaven, I got a couple of phone. Within 1 hour, things started changing and turning around. Within an hour. The Lord lets you get down as far as you think you can go. He'll step in and help you. I'm telling you, people, we ain't got no reason to cry. We ain't got no reason to mealy mouth and pour mouth around. And God's still taking care of us. And God's still on the throne. And He cares about what you're going through. Long story short, of course, it was on the front page of the paper. I spit on the sidewalk, it's on the front page of the paper. I put it on the front page of the paper. Little town ain't got much else to talk about. And associate pastor, house burned down. I was going off preaching somewhere, and them boys in our church took them 2x6s or 10s and 2x12s and built him a house. And the insurance paid for them and put up new ones. That's truth. That's truth. And every time the devil gets you down and you think you ain't going to make it, and you think, God, why are you allowing this? And God, why are you letting this happen? You mark my word. You call on Him. You trust Him. Elijah heard from heaven. I never forget hearing, I believe, Mays Jackson telling about his mom. His mom said, old mom was an old saint of God. And listen, you are so lucky and blessed if you got one of these old praying mamas. You are so lucky and blessed. You ought to shout every day of your life if you had a praying mama. He said they'd get around and didn't have nothing to eat when he was growing up. And he said they'd get to looking around for his mama and they couldn't find her. And he said, nobody knows where mama's at. She's up in the woods. And buddy, she's up in the woods up in there somewhere. She'd be way up in there in the tree. Huh? And buddy, they said all of a sudden, they'd hear somebody going, woo! And she's coming down there like that. And mama come down here saying, I just heard from heaven and everything's going to be all right. Buddy, that's the old time Christianity that's missing in a lot of this modern day stuff where God's real and where God does answer prayer and where God's still. I'm telling you tonight, He'll still do it. And if you'll turn that computer off a little while and put some time on your knees and push that plate back and get with God, God still will do something for us today. Amen. God was not ready for Elijah to die. He was not ready for him to go. Some God ain't ready for somebody to go, you can't kill him. Amen. Lord, I've heard about them old preachers preaching, I think it's John Wesley or somebody. He was preaching somewhere, and a man come up going to kill him on a horse, and he got going to shoot him or stab him or something, and he got about 10 feet from him, and the horse just rattled up like it right there, like it run into an invisible wall and turned around and took off. You can't go till God gets through with you. And if God's through with you, you don't want to stay, right? If God's through with you, there ain't no use in staying here. God was not ready for Elijah to die. He wanted to touch somebody. He wanted to preach another sermon. The reason the Lord's left you here is He wants you to touch somebody's life for His glory. If He's through with you, He'll take you out. You're alive and breathing, God ain't through with you. There's somebody He wants you to witness to tomorrow. There's somebody He wants you to be a blessing to tomorrow, this week. Elijah did arise and eat and was strengthened. He ate that bread that came down from heaven. He drank that cruise of water. And son, I'm telling you, that old boy took off and realized that the Lord is still on his side. Man said this one time, he said, you ask why God loves, you might as well ask why the sun shines. Why does the sun shine? It has to shine. It can't help but shine. It's the sun. And that's the way God is. He can't help but love. He is love. Anybody that don't know God loves, don't know God like they ought to. He cares about you tonight. He'll be real to you. There's only one thing can stop you from getting what God wants you to get tonight. It's a little word called S-I-N, and unbelief. Are you getting what the Lord wants you to have? We've got an uphill battle from now until April 25th. Let's go. Let's go. They're coming to get us a song. I wonder how many of you meet me here in the altar tonight and say, Lord, I want your very best strength for your weakest hour. Lord, I want your best in my life. I don't want to doubt you. Lord, I want to trust you. And I want to be where I ought to be. By the time the youth rally comes, fire will come down and do what needs to be done in my heart. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name you take this little simple message on this great man, Elijah, and that you'd bless it tonight, do what ought to be done. Lord, help every one of us tonight, God, to get where we need to be with you. Lord, I want you to work my... How cheap we sell out to the cheap things of this world. And could we get the rich blessings of God on us? Help us tonight. Be ready for the youth rally, I beg, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's pray. Come on, everybody.